We're here today in our readings how we are called to be good managers, good stewards of what has been entrusted to us, but that we don't always manage these things well. In fact, one of the reasons we may not manage these things well is we forget that we are stewards, that we are managers, that we have been given something ourselves that we are to tend to on behalf of someone else. There's a lot of time we can think that our lives are our own, that our stuff that we have are our own, that our gifts are our own, and we want to employ those to our own ends. But we're reminded today that really we serve a rich master who has given us everything that we have, ourselves, our time, our possessions, our talents and abilities. All of these come from God. And God has a certain way that God would want us to use these. Of course, as we hear in our parable today that Jesus tells, we don't always use the gifts God has given us as we should. We sometimes squander that which God gives us. We're not always faithful. And we know, just like this dishonest manager today, we too could have God take away from us this position to say, you know what, you've messed up, you're dismissed. We don't want that to be the outcome. And indeed, when we begin to manage ourselves, our time, our resources, we likely aren't trying to go away from God. We aren't trying outright to say, you know what, Lord, we don't need you. We're going to go our own way. But I think our reading from Jeremiah shows how we can slip into this. That we recognize we have needs. And God doesn't seem to be fulfilling those needs the way that we would expect or the way that we would demand. Can hear the people say, Lord, aren't you with us? Why haven't you saved us? Look, the summer has passed, the harvest is over, winter is coming, and we are not saved. We don't have the food that we need. We don't have the resources that we need. We recognize that we need stuff, and we don't have it. Lord, what's the deal with that? And so they're recognizing, Lord, we don't see you working on a timeline and in a way that makes sense to us. And now, this is where we're going to start getting into trouble, because we see the needs that we have and we want to fulfill those needs. And now we're willing to do whatever it takes to have that be done. So for the people of Jeremiah's day, this was likely idol worship. You know, if our crops aren't coming in, we don't have the stuff that we need. The sun isn't shining the way that it should. The rain isn't raining the way that it should. We need to offer sacrifices to rain, to sun, to idols, to whatever, in order to make these things happen. We've got to do something about this. And of course, we've already heard a few weeks ago in Jeremiah why this is a very big problem. First of all, those idols have no ability to grant us what we need. They are completely empty. We are just pouring things out into nothing. And at the same time, we have turned away from God. God who really could provide for our needs. We have given up on God by trying to satisfy our desires some way else. And that, of course, is a problem. This is going to be something that is much to our own detriment. And we can look outside this and say, yeah, come on, people. Can't you just follow God? Can't you just get it together? And yet we know that we are easy to succumb to the same issues. Jesus points out today how easy it is for wealth to become our master. That we too will see needs that we have. We may not always trust God fully and completely to provide for those needs. And so we start to trust in something else. And money is a convenient option because it's so ubiquitous and it can be used for so many things. It helps insulate us from challenges. It ensures that we have food. It ensures that we have clothing. It ensures we can have our wants and our needs met. It ensures we have a roof over our heads. It seems like it can provide for us. But Jesus is saying here, look, you can trust in money or you can trust in God to provide for you. You cannot do both. You're going to rely on one more than the other. You're going to love one and hate the other. Which one are you going to choose? And we want to say neither. We'll do both. Whichever one meets our needs at that time. Sure, we can go with God. We can go with money. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, that's your problem. You're trying to, even if you try to separate those out, you're going to find yourselves managing your gifts that God has given you in poor ways. We need to focus on God. And all right, Lord, we know that we should. Yet we struggle to do so. Our understanding says differently. The needs that we are aware of say differently. Like they need to be attended to in our way, in our time. And this leads us to manage what God has given us in poor ways. Let me just cover one other issue that comes about. But in that moment where God shows us clearly that God is aware of our shortcomings, that God knows that we haven't done what we should, we can want to get out of that somehow through our own cleverness, through our own shrewd activity, as we see the dishonest manager doing today. The master comes and says to him, look, you're being dismissed. And so he does something. He takes action. And surprisingly, is commended for it as he reduces these bills and as he tries to curry favor with others so that he can be welcomed into their homes when after he is dismissed. And we can want to do this too. We can think, even if God finds us out, even if God realizes how we have done wrong, maybe through our own cleverness, through our own shrewdness, we'll find a way through. We can still figure out a way to support ourselves, even if God isn't going to support us. Let me tell you this right now, that will not work either. We are not that clever. We are not going to find another way to be supported. This is not an option for us. But there is good news today. And the good news is this, that God wants us to be supported. And indeed, God tells us very clearly how we are to manage ourselves, how we are to use the gifts that God has given to us. And Jesus says in our parable today, use the dishonest wealth, use the stuff of this world, use everything God has given you to make friends, to cultivate relationship. That is where God's focus would be. This seems a little too simple, I think, to us. Surely, God, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen, would give us gifts to be used in some great and glorious way to really show forth without a shadow of a doubt God's power and might in this world. Surely that must be the way. We should see awesome and great things happening when we're using our gifts the ways that that should be done. And awesome and great things by our standards, of course, ways that we are satisfied and that we can satisfy others out of a huge abundance and that we can demonstrate our own power through our acumen and our shrewdness and through our status in the world. That seems to have the level of grandeur that God would want us to have. That does not seem to be the case here. God says, yes, I've made all things. I've made you. And what I want you to do is care for others. Make friends for yourselves. Specifically, those who are children of light. Specifically, those who can welcome you in to the heavenly homes. Cultivate relationship. We're like, And even if we buy into that, even if we say, okay, maybe we're supposed to use this stuff God has given us for the sake of caring for others. And we'd probably then have a hard time if God said, and do that first. Before you take care of your own needs, even care for others. And we'd say, whoa, Lord. Surely you mean give us enough so that from our excess we can give to others. But we could ask Elijah or the widow at Zarephath that that's not always the case. At times God asks us to give even when we don't have enough for ourselves. That even if all we have is insufficient, we give that away. You say, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. That's not very prudent. That's not very shrewd. You're right. It is not. This is a difficult way for us. It is why we tend to be poor managers. But this is what we see God doing. So we hear about in our second lesson today. God chooses to give up everything. God, who has all things, all value, all power and might, gives that away to take on flesh, to enter into poverty and suffering, to have nothing for the sake of cultivating relationship with us. God wants to name us as friends and so sends Christ to ransom us from the power of sin and death, to say, I will give everything for you. You who have messed up, God says, I know how poorly you have managed my things. I know how far you have fallen. I still love you, and I will manage myself in a way that will restore us to right relationship. This is beyond what we see the steward doing. The steward does some shrewd calculations in order to make up for his shortcomings so that he can find some way to live in the future. God has no shortcomings, but gives everything away so that we might live in the future, so that we might be welcomed into the eternal home, so that we might be called friends of Christ. This is truly amazing that God would do this for us, that God would manage God's self in this way, ransom us in this way, to show us such levels of love. And so we too are to model what we see Christ doing for us. We too are to lay ourselves down, are to give away before, even if we're not satisfied, trusting that God will provide for us. That is the key. Jesus can do this knowing full well all that the Father will do. Jesus pours out knowing the Father is there at his side in his whole ministry, through the miracles, through the giving of the bread and the fish, and then, of course, through offering his own life. He says, I know that God will provide for me. Even when I am sure that God is far from me, even if I feel like I am lost and dejected and alone, I know God will give me all I need. Can we have that level of trust? Probably not. Indeed, we're invited to even go a step further. We're invited to care and call as friend for those who even would work against us, who would be viewed as our enemy. Because this is also what Christ does. Christ does this for all, even those who would reject Jesus. Even those who would push him away, Christ says, I've come to ransom you too. And this is what we hear going on in our reading from 1 Timothy. I want you to pray for those everywhere, those in high position, leaders. And let us be clear, those were not friendly often to the Church of Christ. They're sometimes persecuted, they're made laws against them, and yet here is the command to pray for them nonetheless. This is because this is what Christ does. Names as friend even those we would seek to name as enemies. And yes, we are called to do the same. We are called to manage ourselves, our time, our gifts, our energy in foolish ways, pouring them out for others, even others who would stand against us. Because this is what Christ has done for us. Indeed, this is what we encounter again in this meal that we share. Here, Christ shows up and once more pours out everything to call us friends, offers us bread and wine, body and blood. Here we know we are ransomed. Again, Christ has paid for us to come back and be drawn back into right relationship with God, to be termed friend at this table. And that gift of invitation is expansive. This covers all of those, of every time and place, of different cultures and viewpoints, perspectives and values here are gathered at this table in Christ. And we know Christ has ransomed us all. Friends and enemies, we are all named as friend of Christ. And as we catch a glimpse of this truth at this table, we are sent forth. We are sent forth to manage these gifts God has shared with us. These gifts of ourselves, our time, our possessions, our talents. We are to care for others, even when it doesn't make sense. Because we have received this care from God. Because we have been named friend in Christ. And so we go forth to celebrate and share this love. We go forth to manage ourselves in ways that point to this love of God in any and all times and situations and circumstances. We go forth trusting in the provision God has set forth in, for us in Christ, knowing that come what may, God will provide our needs. And this trust allows us to hold things loosely, to be willing to part with all that we have, all for the sake of helping others hear this good news of God's amazing and abundant love. And for that good news, which does not make sense, which is neither practical nor prudent, and yet is life-giving and restoring, such good news as this, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.